Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast. If your home or business has pests, don't stress it. Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's TERMINIX.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. Only Marjorie Taylor Greene would be stupid enough to publicly demand a national divorce in which the country separates by red states and blue states as she did yesterday without ever realizing that she lives in a blue state, which has two Democratic senators, and she lives in a blue state, five of whose last eight governors since the end of Jim Crow have been Democrats, and she lives in a blue state, which has two Democratic senators now and eight out of the last 14. And she lives in a blue state, which long ago tried for a national divorce and instead of that got its top city burned to the ground and suffered economic losses amounting to, in today's money, $1.5 billion. But you do you, Marge. Divorce away. Maybe you can then move to somewhere in the new Confederacy, but I expect they will not be taking immigrants. Now, you may think the only reason that Barney Rubble's body double could propose a national divorce when she is on the wrong side of her own fence is that the trauma of her personal life is suddenly bleeding into her political stances. But I think what we saw here was one of those moments in which somebody has simply had too much Fox News pumped into them over the years, and they suddenly explode with a resounding fatal salvo of imbecility. Marjorie Taylor Greene does not understand that conservatives and fascists and Republicans are not in the majority in this country, nor that she is not currently in a red state, nor that Georgia gets around $20 billion more from the federal government every year than its residents pay into the federal government every year, nor does she understand that she doesn't really know how to spell or speak American English. And of course, all those things are or are not true. She was raised on Fox News. Which brings me to my point. It is time for us as a country to address the danger Fox News represents, to act swiftly and decisively against Fox News, to deplatform it, and to, in fact, destroy it. Yesterday, after several hints and even more leaks over a couple of days, Fox News confirmed that the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Kevin McCarthy, has given Tucker Carlson 41,000 hours of January 6th Capitol surveillance and security video. And McCarthy has given it to Carlson exclusively. And McCarthy has done so without consultation with House colleagues, or without hearings, without any authority other than his own belief that since the January 6th committee was run by the House of Representatives, all footage that that committee obtained and did not release is his to do with as he pleases. and how he pleases is to turn this video, which will give the plotters of the next attempted coup and the next attempt to hang a vice president and the next attempt to overthrow the government of the United States an exact roadmap to the location of every security camera and every emergency facility and every emergency door and room in the entirety of the U.S. Capitol complex. And Kevin McCarthy might as well have handed it to the Russian ambassador to the United States. Tucker Carlson is probably not an actual Russian asset. He is probably doing their work as a hobby. But he might as well be one. He is not loyal to this country nor to any aspect of how it is governed. He does not approve of how its leaders are elected. He has no interest in making sure that money and power cannot crush the weak at every turn. There is to Tucker Carlson no concept of truth, nor of law, nor of decency. There is one touchstone only. How much can Tucker Carlson get away with? Tucker Carlson is loyal to only one thing. Tucker Carlson. He is dedicated to only one thing, the vendetta he has had against liberals in particular, but honestly against America in general, since he was fired first by CNN, then by PBS, then by MSNBC, and then when he was first marginalized by Fox News before it finally gave him the power he demanded from it in 2016. Handing him video footage of the coup attempt so he can give away all the security secrets of the Capitol, and so he can use his immense propaganda platform to try to rewrite the history of the insurrection he and the other vermin of Fox News successfully helped to foment, is like handing him a series of pipe bombs. It will never occur to Tucker Carlson, not for a second, to try to dispose of them safely and properly. He will only think about who he can metaphorically kill with them. Metaphorically for him, less metaphorically for others, others who will see the video, which a federal court ruled 2 years ago should largely be held back, or at least distributed only after a careful review to make sure that each frame of it does not jeopardize still more law enforcement officers or congressmen or senators or staffers or, you know, vice presidents. Instead, it will be in the hands of Tucker Carlson to decide what does and does not become public. Because Tucker Carlson believes, in a very real sense, that he is supposed to be running this country. Maybe not running it in the way you or I understand the term, maybe not even in the way that Trump understands it, after an election which you have to win, or falsely, loudly claim you did win. Tucker Carlson does not believe in such obstructions to and formalities about what really matters in this country, which is what Tucker Carlson wants. Last week's revelations from the Dominion defamation lawsuit were numerous enough to have a new Netflix series based on them. Hell, 12 new series. Hell, 100 new series. Hell, never mind new Netflix series. There were enough to create a new Netflix with nothing but dramas based on the texts and the emails Carlson and Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity and Rupert Murdoch and the others sent each other. But the most relevant of all of that correspondence remains Carlson's reaction after a Fox reporter tweeted that there was no evidence of voting machines altering or deleting Republican votes. Quote, "Please get her fired," Carlson texted to Sean Hannity. "Seriously, what the blank? I'm actually shocked. It needs to stop immediately. It's measurably hurting the company. The stock price is down." That's it. In just 26 words. That's all Tucker Carlson knows, understands, or values in this world. And the Speaker of the House of Representatives has handed this creature 41,000 hours of January 6th surveillance video to do with as he pleases. And guess what? The Department of Justice should take Fox and Carlson and the Speaker of the House to court and attempt to get a temporary restraining order to prevent the revelation of one frame of that video and then a permanent restraining order. The Attorney General should launch an inquiry into which laws Speaker McCarthy has broken in his unilateral action about the video release. And the Democrats and the liberals and the media pressure groups and the boycotters and, more importantly, you and I, we should all make every noise we can to get DirecTV to stop carrying Fox News and to get Verizon to stop carrying Fox News and Comcast and Dish and Cox and every satellite provider and every cable provider and every internet provider. I believe the word is deplatform. I mean, right now, the forces of fascism in this country and the propaganda outlets they control have already succeeded in creating a completely fictitious narrative in which the Newsmax channel, which is like Fox News, but for those addicts who do not mind their cocaine mixed with rat poison, in this narrative, Newsmax has been deplatformed and canceled and silenced by DirecTV, when in fact this is entirely a question of Newsmax raising its price for DirecTV's use from $0 per year to $13 million per year, and DirecTV saying, what the F? The Democrats and the liberals and the media pressure groups and the boycotters, and most importantly, you and I, we have already been convicted of this crime. Let's get a little something for our money. Let's move to silence an outrageous, un-American fifth column eating away at this nation's freedoms and its very viability, to say nothing of what it has done to poor, stupid Marjorie Taylor Greene and millions like her who literally do not know where they are at this moment. What is the right wing going to do in response? Say, oh, you didn't really try to deplatform Newsmax, but now you're really trying to deplatform Fox. The right is, as ever, crying. Let us give them something to cry about. Since 1998, literally months after I went from just sports into covering or also covering news and politics, I have been noting and commenting and shouting and yelling and screaming that Fox News was not only not news and should not be called news, but that it represented an ever-growing threat to the continuation of representative government in this country. In 2007, I said in an interview that Al-Qaeda really hurt us, but not as much as Rupert Murdoch has hurt us. Fox News is worse than Al-Qaeda, worse for our society. It's as dangerous as the Ku Klux Klan ever was. Serious journalists, the kind that talk loudly in restaurants, dismissed my criticisms of 1998 and 2007 and 2016 and today as just ploys for ratings. I was just punching up at Bill O'Reilly, thus my hyperbole. Actually, no, I wasn't. It was obvious then to me, and I thought to everybody else, that Fox News was being used by the right wing in this country the way the Nazis used radio in Germany in the early 1930s to change reality, to change it from stuff that really happened out there to a narrative that left the population in a constant state of fear of outsiders and in a constant state of rage and umbrage against democracy, against liberals, and against minorities. It was worse than Al-Qaeda. It is worse than Al-Qaeda. Osama bin Laden killed thousands of us. Rupert Murdoch has, in essence, killed the minds of millions of us. In 2009, O'Reilly and Murdoch and Fox decided that I had to be silenced, deplatformed, if you will. So they attacked not me, but my boss and my boss's boss, and ultimately the chairman of the multinational that owned all of us, the head of GE, Jeffrey Immelt. I have told this story before, and I will tell it again in all its grisly detail at the end of this podcast. In short, though, O'Reilly accused GE of building parts for roadside bombs used to kill American servicemen in Iraq. He then had a camera crew, run by Jesse Waters, chase Immelt around. He mentioned Immelt by name on his show. Immelt's mother was an O'Reilly viewer, and she called her son and yelled at him. Jeff Immelt naturally kept a calm head, befitting the man responsible for the fifth, sixth, or seventh largest corporation in the world, or whatever it was ranked then, and he immediately threatened the president of NBC that if his name was mentioned again on Fox News, he would immediately take MSNBC off the air and fire everybody connected with it, because these are businessmen and business is first, last, and everything in between, unless mommy calls. The next thing I knew, Roger Ailes was inside 30 Rock negotiating with Jeff Zucker over how MSNBC should cover Fox and how Fox should cover MSNBC and Immelt and GE. And even when an NBC executive boasted about this to the New York Times, most of the American media did not notice that two out of the three cable news outlets were colluding over how and how not to cover the news. Most that did notice it simply wrote it off to me trying to get ratings and dismissed what I did as the liberal version of O'Reilly. I would hope that after this Kevin McCarthy-Tucker Carlson pact about the January 6th video, and why am I reminded of the Hitler-Stalin pact when I say the McCarthy-Carlson pact, coming so fresh on the heels of the Fox texts in the Dominion case, that somebody with a large platform, somebody at CBS or ABC or NBC or the New York Times or the Washington Post, somebody would recognize what Fox News is right now and start a, I don't know, 453-part series on what they are right now, even if they would like to pretend that Fox News just became that last Tuesday. So be it. Because whether it was or it was not in 2013 or 2003 or at its launch, Fox News is now a clear and present danger to the safety and security of the United States of America. It is, whether because of money or blackmail or most likely just sheer fascistic empathy and sheer spite, it is a propaganda arm both of the anti-democratic conspiracies alive in this country and of the government of Russia. And the clarity of how it and its faces like Carlson and Hannity and Ingram acted in mercenary, financially driven defense of election denial, and thus the violence and the coup attempts that followed and will follow again, the clarity of what Fox was behind the scenes between November 2020 and January 2021, and what it is today with Tucker Carlson ready to issue a video gaslighting on behalf of Trump and sedition, and also to issue an illustrated guide on how to get past all those annoying Capitol Hill security cameras next time, Fox News has rendered our response as a nation to the peril of Fox News essential and urgent. We have no choice. We must destroy Fox News. And if there is some means to do so, prosecute it. It is essential and urgent. It is one thing to be the salesman of madness and conspiracy and rage and paranoia. It is quite another, and somehow I think it's far worse, far more damaging, far more insidious, to be the salesman of madness and conspiracy and rage and paranoia without believing any of it. The real invested, insane, inconsolable election deniers and hate mongers are somehow slightly less despicable and certainly less threatening, because they are zealots, and thus zealots have left half of their plans for world domination undone, because they believe not only that God will do that part for them, but that God loves only them and nothing bad could happen to them. Fox News is far more dangerous, because in becoming completely devoid of true belief in anything but its ability to sell moronity to morons at great profit, Fox News has absolved itself of any responsibility for it. These people do not question their own ethics. They haven't seen ethics in themselves, their colleagues, their guests, their employers in 25 years. There isn't even moral relativism, because morality, even a mistaken belief that they have morality and the rest of us don't, morality is no longer part of the equation at Fox News. In the past, they used to sell this country out because they believed in fascism. Now, Carlson and Ingram and Hannity and all the others are selling this country out because they believe in money. And we have handed them all the video from January 6th and a license to lie about everything without consequences, about this in particular without consequences. And we might as well have given them guns and nukes and the security code to every home in this country. Hell, Kevin McCarthy just gave them the security code to every panic room in the Capitol. And our inaction, our disbelief that there could be anything so cynical as this is how this country has been previously blighted by big tobacco and by big pharma, and with a historical nod to Marjorie Taylor Greene, by big slavery. We know it can kill you. It's not our fault that you believe us. It's yours. We had big tobacco and big pharma. Fox? Fox is just big bullshit. Still ahead of us in this edition of Countdown, little Jimmy O'Keefe leaves Project Veritas, an ironic name, claiming somebody was making up stories about him. Why does that sound so familiar? Owl Watch 23, the latest, the wandering eagle owl of Central Park. Flacco leaves the nest, literally. Mayor Eric Adams of New York finally makes himself useful, targeting Ron DeSantis. And I promised you the story about how the head of GE nearly killed off MSNBC in 2009 because Fox said mean things about him and his mommy heard them. All the gory details ahead. That's next. This is Countdown.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Guard like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
This is Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
Postscripts to the news, some headlines, some updates, some snarks, some predictions. Dateline Moscow. Okay, President Biden's visit to Kyiv totally did not disorient the Kremlin or its versions of Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, and Sean Hannity. Well, Ingraham and Hannity. Tucker Carlson is the Russian version of Tucker Carlson. On the nightly Russian TV marathon devoted to keeping the people in line, not only did propagandist Olga Skabeva admit Russia's special operation in Ukraine has been going on for a year that is far from reaching its goals, there is a huge number of deaths, but Skabeva and other panelists said the Kremlin had made a huge mistake in not blowing Biden up. The Daily Beast's Russian TV watcher Julia Davis also reports the commentators insisted their country also missed a terrific chance when the then British Prime Minister Boris Johnson was in Kyiv that they could have blown him up too. Well, that's silly. All they had to do was wait for Johnson to go home to England and blow himself up. Dateline Central Park, New York. Owl Watch 23 update. Flecko, the escaped eagle owl, now on his own for 2 days shy of 3 weeks, and his aerial range has now expanded from about 8 or 10 blocks from his original home to 50. He was spotted in the park's North Woods yesterday, up around 110th Street. Late last week, the zoo announced that since he's been feeding himself, Central Park rats. Yum, yum. You know them as hot dogs. They have been suspended, their attempts to recapture Flacco, although they will keep eyes on him in case there is any trouble in the future. For instance, if he runs out of rats. Dateline Washington, the least successful political provocateur of our time, little Jimmy O'Keefe, is out on his ass today after the power struggle at the ironically named Project Veritas ended with his resignation. O'Keefe has vowed to start a rival Project Veritas and said his exit was forced by people who ruined his reputation by fabricating stories about him. O'Keefe can now also return his energies to his sideline as a professional Lee Harvey Oswald lookalike. You know them as hot dogs. And Dateline Staten Island, Florida governor and unannounced because if he announced he'd have to quit as Florida governor, presidential candidate Ron DeSantis was in New York's armpit yesterday to, I don't know, meet people worse than him. The Staten Island visit got so much attention that even New York Mayor Eric Adams noticed. Adams tweeting a welcome to New York to DeSantis, quote, New York, a place where we don't ban books, discriminate against our LGBTQ plus neighbors, use asylum seekers as props, or let the government stand between a woman and health care. We're happy to teach you something about values while you're here. If your New Yorker friends are unusually quiet today, it's because it's the first time they've ever heard Adams come out in favor of any of those things. Next, you'll be telling us he's a Democrat. Ahead, we were all summoned to the 52nd floor of 30 Rock, at which the president of NBC told us MSNBC was about to be taken off the air and all of us fired because the chairman of GE was mad. Well, not really the chairman. The chairman's mother was mad. Next. First time for the daily roundup of the miscreants, morons, and Dunning-Kruger effect specimens who constitute today's worst persons in the world. The bronze, an unnamed customer at the Art Wynwood Fair in Miami. One of those Jeff Koons sculptures that look exactly like balloon animals was on display. A balloon, bright blue and not made out of balloon stuff. Though apparently the customer did not know that. Thought, I guess, that it was a balloon dog. She tapped the dog with her finger and it fell off the pedestal and shattered into 100 pieces because it wasn't made out of balloon stuff. It was a $42,000 balloon sculpture made out of ceramic, and now it's about 100 different pieces of balloon sculpture worth about $420 each. We have really overdone this destroy the balloon thing. It is balloon! The runner-up, Superintendent Robbie Studeville of Rising Star Elementary School in Rising Star, Texas, also ironically named. Superintendent Studeville wants everybody to know that his gun is fine, and he's fine, and everything is fine. Sure enough, he done found his gun. Silly him, he left it in a bathroom. But happily, somebody found it and told a teacher and got Superintendent Studeville his gun back. The person who found it was a third grader who found it in a bathroom stall 15 minutes after this idiot left it in there. But not to worry, Studeville told parents, quote, "There was never a danger," he said, adding, quote, "other than the obvious." Sure, he's not a student, but our winner, John Malone, the fascist who bought CNN and installed Chris Licht to destroy it. Did I ever tell you that when we were at MSNBC, you know the rest of it by now, with the latest CNN humiliation, the unofficial suspension of Don Lemon for saying that at 51, Nikki Haley was no longer in her prime as a woman, Malone's going to have to do one of two things. A, fire Chris Licht, because every move Licht has made not only has not worked, but has damaged CNN beyond repair. Or B, he's just going to have to admit he hired Licht to damage CNN beyond repair. There is reason to ponder whether or not Don Lemon was set up here. Not set up so he'd say something misogynistic or something stupid about Nikki Haley. But first, they took away his solo show. Then they upended his life by sticking him in the graveyard that is the mornings. Then they stuck him with these two nitwitted co-hosts who have all the ambition and none of the talent. And then they just waited for something bad to happen. And it did. You can't fire a Don Lemon. But you can demote him again, deprive him of sleep, and hope for the worst. A long time ago, when I worked for Fox Sports and Rupert Murdoch, I reported that Murdoch was trying to sell the LA Dodgers baseball team, which he owned. Before I went on the air with the story, though, I went to Murdoch's personal public relations man and told him, "Look, I'll kill this story if you want, because it is, after all, your candy store." Like I said, no, if you believe it's legit, if your sources are good, you can report it, but you must make it clear nobody in the company told you this, and you must run our corporate denial. And I said, well, fine, of course. Murdoch got back from vacation, found out I'd reported he was trying to sell the Dodgers, which he was, and as he later admitted, he went nuts, and he ordered they should fire me. Problem was, I hadn't done anything to get fired. And if they had fired me, they would have owed me all the rest of my $100,000 a month salary. All at once. So instead, they simply called up and said, "You're not hosting baseball this year." And when I did nothing, the next day they called up and canceled my cable sports show. When I still did nothing, the day after that, they told me they were taking away my office. By now, it was clear what they were trying to do. They're trying to get me to overreact, to blow up, to call a reporter and attack Fox in public so they could fire me for cause and then not owe me the $100,000 a month. Look, even I could see through that. I kept quiet and kept getting $100,000 a month. So if you're wondering what's going on with Don Lemon and CNN, keep that story in mind and accept the possibility that they're trying to get him to explode at them so either they will have to fire him or, better yet, that he will have to quit. John, just fire him and pay him the money, you cheap billionaire Malone. Today's worst person in the world!
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Still ahead on Countdown, I've now spent nearly more time promising it than telling it. The day Fox News and Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch nearly got MSNBC taken off the air on the spot because corporate executives are cowards. First, in each edition of Countdown, we feature a dog in need you can help. Every dog has its day. To Shreveport, Louisiana, and it is amazing how often this exact story unfolds. A family has a dog it loves, who loves the family. Maybe something unfortunate happens, maybe not. Out the dog goes, literally out the door, out of the car, out of their lives. Mr. Jojo is a sweet-tempered pit terrier mix. They dumped him on the Texas-Louisiana border. He had no idea how to feed nor protect himself. Thankfully, Parish Paws of Shreveport found him. They're trying to heal up his wounds, scabs, skin disease, and broken heart. Happily, the last part usually is the easiest. As to the first part, if you can help, go to Cuddly.com and search Mr. Jojo, or just look for him on my Twitter feed. Donate if you can. Your retweets will also help greatly. I thank you, and Mr. Jojo thanks you. The executive producer of our MSNBC newscast Countdown, Izzy Povich, and I were on the grown-up elevator to the office of NBC President Jeff Zucker on the 52nd floor of 30 Rock in New York, summoned there by some garbled message from MSNBC President Phil Griffin about MSNBC being taken off the air. I was mumbling to Izzy sundry imprecations and reminiscences. 8 freaking months is. We spent 12 freaking months forcing them to create Maddow's show. It lasts 8 months. All the crap, prompter practice, getting her over her fears, rockets past CNN, only 8 months of show, and now it's all gone. Izzy reminded me it was not just Rachel's show that was threatened, which was why poor Court Harsin from Hardball was already upstairs, along with poor Ed Schultz and Phil Griffin, and Rachel's executive producer Bill Wolf, and some clown from Morning Joe, and a couple of other MSNBC executives, and us. I know, I did the line from the drunken Irishman from Hitchcock's The Birds, complete with the bad accent. It's the end of the world. I said Jeff Immelt is going to take MSNBC off the air. I didn't need any of my overwrought visions from 2 years earlier of the future of liberal news commentary falling out the NBC window to its death on the rink. This was the real thing. The chairman of General Electric was threatening to open the window himself, throw us out the window himself, and then race down to the pavement to stomp on our dying remains himself. Poor Ed Schultz heard Jeff Zucker say those words, and he had screwed up his face and tilted his head like a puppy hearing a car crash. He had not believed it the first time. He had not believed it the second time. Zucker said it a third time. Immelt is going to take MSNBC off the effing air. Ed Schultz groaned. After weeks of Griffin's coaxing, he had finally just moved from Nebraska to New York the preceding weekend. Yet he was still somehow only the second most strung-out person in the room. You! Zucker shouted at me. You're the smartest one in the room! What the F do we do now? I'll confess I was shaken by this because it appeared for once that Zucker was not being sarcastic. I had never before seen him flush nor flustered. This was a guy who wore fleece in July. Yet now he was beet red and sweating. Sometimes he knew what he was doing, and as his opposition to hiring Maddow had proved, sometimes he didn't know what he was doing. But he always acted as the most confident man in the galaxy. But now he literally had no clue what to do next, and he not only could not ignore my advice, he desperately needed it. This situation and that color on his face were almost worth watching the corporate fascists nuke my network. I asked Zucker to explain what happened. You goddamn well know what happened! Zucker moved towards me, and I stood up, and I told him I would see myself out. He stopped, remembering that he did indeed actually need my help. I'm sorry. I apologize. This isn't Rashel. This is Immelt. Last week sometime, Bill O'Reilly snapped. He told Murdoch he wasn't going to take any more of what you were saying about him on the air, so he did a piece last night accusing GE of manufacturing the components that have been used in roadside bombs that were built in Iran to kill Americans in Iraq. Which is true. Legally, that's legally true. They found roadside bombs that had like 30-year-old GE transistors or TV tubes from 1954 or something in them. Legally, GE did manufacture components that were used in roadside bombs that were built in Iran to kill Americans in Iraq. So O'Reilly puts this on his effing show as a lead story. And then Fox sent two camera crews and this little crap producer from O'Reilly's show, Jesse Waters something, to stake Immelt out and chase him around the GE shareholders meeting in Charlotte. Zucker finally came up for air and I jumped in. Why didn't Immelt have six camera crews to stake out the two Fox crews and chase them around in Charlotte? I mean, isn't that one of our news hubs, Charlotte? Doesn't Immelt own like 20 camera crews there? He bring a camera crew, you bring two camera crews? Zucker started to not like me again. Now you suggest that. Where were you when? All right, never mind. It doesn't matter. Immelt says if there's one more story on Bill O'Reilly about GE manufacturing components for roadside bombs in Iraq, he's taking MSNBC off the air immediately. It'll just be 24 hours of lockup, and I'm fired, and you're fired. And then he pointed at Chris Matthews, producer, and Matthews is fired, and he pointed at poor Ed Schultz, and you're fired. And Ed whimpered. So, smartass, what the F do we do? I feigned all the nonchalance I could feign. If I could have lit a cheroot by striking a match on the sole of my boot, I would have. It's manageable. But, Jeff, why is Immelt so worked up about what O'Reilly said about him? Only O'Reilly's nut job viewers actually believe any of that crap. Nobody at GE, nobody investing in GE could possibly believe we're building components for roadside bombs. Zucker inhaled deeply. Immelt's mother believes it. All the heads in the room turned toward the president of NBC. Mrs. Immelt, back in Cincinnati, is a devoted Bill O'Reilly viewer. Watches him every night. Sees this. Calls him. Says, Sonny, why are you manufacturing components that were used in roadside bombs built in Iran to kill Americans in Iraq? I had not expected that. I said to Zucker, so he'll really burn, what, $200 million a year in profits? Just between Rachel and me? Because his mom watches Bill O'Reilly? Zucker got angry again. You bet your effing ass he will. Now, you said it was manageable. How? How the F do we manage it, Alderman? Just a minute. How old is she? Zucker summoned all his annoyance. How old is who? Immelt's mother. How old is she, Jeff? Zucker was really annoyed. How the F should I know? You're missing the point. I had him really worked up, nearly to the boiling point. It was great. Guess. Zucker spluttered. I don't know. He's in his mid-50s. She's got to be 80, 90-something. I stifled a fake yawn. Yeah, you're right. Probably closer to 90 now that I think of it. So the problem is, she watches O'Reilly. She tells him what's on Fox, what O'Reilly's saying about GE. Well, I think you have a simple solution. I'd say the first thing you do is you send over a couple of big guys to her house and you pull the freaking cable out of the wall. Zucker actually gasped. My producer, Izzy Povich, unsuccessfully stifled a laugh, and I saw Rachel crack a smile. Zucker regained himself. This isn't funny, Alderman. I crossed my legs. Oh, it's a little funny. And anyway, it's not essential. If the problem is Immelt is threatening to take the network off the air because O'Reilly is avenging himself against me by attacking him at attacking GE, the short-term solution is easy, and in fact, it is manageable. The long-term solution, that's not easy, and that's not manageable, but the short-term one, that's simple. Rest of this week, next week, maybe the week after that even, we just don't mention Fox News on MSNBC. Something resembling a smile crossed Zucker's face. It made him look a little less like a lizard person and more like a monkey with glasses. You do that? Forever? No. Not forever I would not do that, I said. To buy us time? Yes. But remember, who was it who was in my office last winter telling me that I should go on the air and just to F with Fox, I should ask why Rupert Murdoch was still running a huge international media company like News Corp, despite all the reports that he's suffering from dementia, even though there haven't been any reports that he's suffering from dementia? For everybody's sake here, who was that again who told me to do that? Zucker's goodwill was gone again. Obviously, that was me. What's your point? My point is, we built this new brand of ours organically on a couple of themes, a couple of statements of principle, and one of them is, to use your words, just to F with Fox. If we don't F with Fox for a couple of weeks at the start of the summer, who's going to care? Who's going to notice? But like after 2 weeks, 3 weeks, our viewers are going to notice, and the TV writers are going to notice, and then the crap will hit from every direction you can think of. Temporary freeze on mentioning Fox and mentioning O'Reilly and mentioning Murdoch, fine. Permanent freeze? Might as well let Immelt turn us off in the morning after all. I don't think Zucker actually heard the last part about Immelt turning us off after all. The lack of color was returning to his face. Okay, breathe, he kept saying to himself. Breathe, breathe, okay, breathe. He looked at me and nodded. He pointed at Izzy and at Phil Griffin and me. You and you and you and I. We will talk tomorrow, maybe tonight, and we'll all meet again next week. Until then, nothing about Fox, anybody. Are we clear? Nothing on the air about Fox. Silence in the room. Then the assorted noises of people rising mixed with attempts to resuscitate poor Ed Schultz. Somebody, Matthew's guy Harson, I think, was almost at the door out of Zucker's office, an office so big that it was, to steal the Ring-Lardner line, the size of the Yale Bowl, but with lamps. And then a voice spoke up quietly but firmly. Excuse me. It was Rachel Maddow. Excuse me. I will not have the content of my show dictated by any corporations, including the one I work for. Remember, this is June 2009. She still felt that way then. And especially one I don't work for. I will walk out first. I cannot have the audience wondering what else I have not told them. I don't do a lot about Fox on my show, but if there is a story about Fox, I will not honor this freeze. I will report that story, and if I'm prevented from reporting that story, I will leave. Whereupon, she left. Zucker barked. Phil, Alderman, Izzy, stay. When the rest of the room had cleared, Zucker blew air out of his mouth as if it were smoke. He gestured violently at me with his right arm. I told you she was a mistake. You didn't listen to me. I told you. Now she's your problem. All of this is your problem. Get her back on the reservation or else. Now I had run out of goodwill and jokes. Oh, I'll get her back on the reservation, Jeff, but if you think this is my problem, just think about what happens if he really does take us off the air, or if it just gets out that he threatened to take us off the air because his mother didn't like what Fox said about him. That's my problem? That's your problem, and it's the problem of the CEO of the frickin' sixth largest corporation in the world who makes his business decisions involving hundreds of millions of dollars of profits based on what his mother says! At this point, Phil Griffin managed to pull Zucker away, and Izzy and I made for the door, saying nothing until we were in the elevator. Finally, she asked, what are you going to do about Rachel? I looked straight ahead. I have depth perception issues while traveling forward, backwards, up or down. Yeah, if I know what I'm going to do about her. But I got an idea. I mean, the only person she was really talking to in there was herself. This isn't a brand new surprise success for her anymore. This is successful. This is what, 9-10 months? She's successful. She said she was once a dancing cell phone outside a cell phone store outside of Boston. She ain't going back to that. I went to talk to Rachel about an hour later and reassured her. I mentioned that powerful as Fox was, they were not going to be able to reinvade Iraq by themselves, and unless she moved it way closer than it had been, nobody would cross her censorship line. And I said, just give me as much time as the French government took before fleeing during the Nazi advance in 1940. I said, give me, what was it, 33 days? Give me 33 days. If we aren't back where we were this morning, we can both quit on the air. I mean, that'd be fun, right? Three nights later, well after midnight on a Friday, my NBC-issued BlackBerry buzzed with a quick email from Rachel Maddow. Hey, she wrote, don't necessarily quote me because I'm really drunk, but just make the best deal you can for us. I trust you. We don't need to do Fox all the time. I never do Fox stories anyway. I just had to say that, and this is the best platform we will ever have. Well, she was right, at least for the time being. A couple of weeks later, I had to sneak in a script that blasted Fox, and at 10:30 at home that night, I got a call from a drunken Phil Griffin shouting into the phone, I have a family! Zucker had to go meet with Roger Ailes secretly inside 30 Rock, and I hope they remembered to clean the room afterwards, and Immelt even had to meet with Murdoch. And then happily, some idiot GE executive decided to boast to the New York Times about getting us little talent children under control and a big deal with the executives over at Fox and how they'd settled everything, which blew up the whole deal instantly because the moment the deal went public, NBC looked so stupid and even NBC News was now risked. The only point of the whole thing was to keep the Immelts and the Zuckers and the Griffins and the Aileses from throwing us and our little island of liberal commentary out of that window at 30 Rock. But as Rachel Maddow and I would be constantly reminded in the ensuing years, 30 Rock has a lot of freaking windows. Countdown has come to you from the studios of Olbermann Broadcasting Empire World Headquarters in the Sports Capsule building in New York, where no deals are made with Fox News. Thank you for listening. Here are the credits. Most of the music, including our theme from Beethoven's Ninth, was arranged, produced, and performed by Brian Ray and John Philip Chanel. They are the Countdown musical directors. Guitars, bass, and drums by Brian Ray. All orchestration and keyboards by John Philip Chanel, produced by TKO Brothers. Other Beethoven selections have been arranged and performed by No Horns Allowed. The sports music is the Olbermann theme from ESPN2, and it was written by Mitch Warren Davis, and it appears courtesy of ESPN Inc. Musical comments by Nancy Faust, the best baseball stadium organist ever. Our announcer today was Jonathan Banks, and everything else was pretty much my fault. So that's Countdown for this, the 777th day since Donald Trump's first attempted coup against the democratically elected government of the United States with the help of Fox News. Arrest Trump now while we still can. The next scheduled Countdown is tomorrow. Until then, I'm Keith Olbermann. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and good luck. Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the that's a yes on the apple pie.
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Woo!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your High Five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.